Blog Talk Radio.
It's now time for Breaking Chains on YAT Radio, where we will be discussing the importance of spiritual, mental, and physical health. Get involved in the conversation by calling in at 858-357-9137 or catch the live stream at www.blogtalkradio.com/YAT Radio.
Amen, amen, amen. God bless you. I greet you in the name of God the Father, God the Son, Jesus the Christ, and God the Holy Spirit. I pray all is well with you throughout the land, no matter the situation that you're going through, no matter what the situation looks like, no matter how dark it seems, just lean on the hands of Christ. Just fall in his hands, fall in his arms. He's going to always be there for you. I tell you, if you don't know him, you'll get to know him before the night's over. Let us humble ourselves and go before the throne of God in prayer. Thank you, Lord. Most gracious and merciful Father, in the name of your Son, Jesus the Christ, O Lord, as we're led of the Holy Spirit, we give you all the honor, the glory, and the praise. As we thank you for another glorious day, breath in our bodies, Lord God, eyes to open to see your beautiful creation for those that can do that. Father God, for those that are unable, Father God, let your Holy Spirit touch their hearts right now in the name of Jesus, Lord God. Father God, we call on all the angels right now, Father God, to be dispatched to your children, Lord God, as we open up the microphones to break chains tonight, Lord God, to loose people from the hands of the devil, Father God, to turn their lives back over to you, the light of Christ, Lord God. So they can be led out of the darkness, Lord God. We pray that something will be said tonight, Father God, that will change lives and break chains, Lord God. Father God, we open up our hearts and our minds to receive you tonight, Lord God. We ask that you lead and guide us tonight, Lord God. Let us say something that's going to pierce some hearts and souls tonight, Lord God. Let your word cut like a double-edged sword, like you say, Lord God. Father God, we thank you, Lord God, for all that you've done, all that you're doing, and that we yet to see, Lord God. Ears have yet to hear. Father God, bless us, guide us, and strengthen us. We ask all of this in the name of your Son, Jesus the Christ. All God's children around the world say amen, amen, and amen. Everybody suit up. You know what time it is. Put on your full armor of God. It's time for YAT Radio to sign on. It's time to break chains. You ready? Let's go get them, y'all. Break your chains.
It don't matter what it look like. It don't matter what it feel like. It don't even matter what nobody else think, you understand? And I'm taking it off the top, just like that, you understand? Gotta get it out the mud, yeah. So ain't got time for no playing, cause see faith work if I love, yeah. And I love the fact that he's playing me, and I give it back when I praise him and fulfill the purpose he gave me. Waiting on this direction, it's surrounded by his protection. I know you can see the hit light in me, cause I wear around like a necklace, yeah. God then gave me his passion, it stirred up in me and it's going down like life. Unbelieving for better, and what he put in me is time to get it off the ground. I'ma make trust them. Even through the mayhem, I can't rush them. Feel like my brain is on the verge of combustion. Still I can't be affiliated with no corruption. No doubt, gotta stay strong. That's why the weak and heart, they can't stay long. Soon as the evil spark, the devil leave a mark. They hit their feet and walk looking like they gone. But still a war rage on. I'm not the one with the cape on, but I know the advocate who's there to sit the blood of Jesus Christ. Yeah, been paid for. No flesh here, you can tell by the words that I speak that I've been in his presence. No flex here, yeah, I'm just a chosen vessel for the time at hand. And it's the Father's plan that I reveal his plan. Let's go. So he made me a king with a purpose. No building, it's in the heart where the church is, yeah. Mountains better move out of my way. I can't help but say it, cause when it comes to my faith, you can call me crazy. Cause I believe the impossible, and I'ma go wherever the Father show. I know you can see that his glory on me. Ain't got the juice on me, I got his glory.
You're listening to Breaking Chains. Call in live during the show at 858-357-9137.
And listen live on our website at youngadultstalk.org.
All right. Thank you, big bro. Hey, welcome back to the show. God bless you. Thank you for turning us on tonight. It's Breaking Chains, YET Radio. And Pastor Rod, got my brothers going to be joining me here in a minute, going to bring them on. And I tell you, listen, for those that are tuning in for the first time, we come here to say enough is enough. We leave a mark that can't be erased by breaking the chains of silence. We talk about things that, you know, you turn your head on, you put your hands over your eyes or put your hands over your ears or your hands over your mouth. Remember them little three monkeys, right? You know what I'm saying? But see, we talking about those things, so be prepared. Leave your gloves at home, put your brass knuckles on, because we're knocking the head off Satan tonight, and we do it every night. And the brothers know it, and the sisters that join us. Let's get the show started. All right. Today is Wednesday. Everybody, prepare yourself for discussing what's on your heart. You got a topic that you got something going on in your heart, on your mind, you've been thinking about this week, within the past week. We're going to let you open the mic and go live and put your issue on the table so we all can give our heartfelt warmth on it. Okay. All right. That's what we're doing tonight. It's Wednesday. So let's get ready to crank up. Everybody ready? All right, 858-357-9137. Enough is enough. Let's go. All right, here's something I want to bring to the table, right? If I go to 2 Timothy chapter 4, and I start at verse 1, and we had this in Bible study tonight, and I knew I was going to bring this to the show tonight. But it starts out with Paul talking to Timothy, right? And he says, I charge. So you know, like we was said tonight in Bible study, charge is a very strong word. You know, just that word, just charge. You know what I'm saying? And when you look at the King James Dictionary definition of charge, it's so much that it says. It says to set or lay on, to impose, you know what I'm saying, as a task, you know, to lay on as a duty, followed by with, you know, to entrust, to set to as a debt. To load or lay on in words, you know, reproachful, you know, it's so much that it shows on about this word charge. And the scripture goes on to say, I charge thee, therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus, who shall judge the quick, the dead at his appearing in his kingdom. He said, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. And I'm going to stop right there. If you call yourself a pastor, preacher, evangelist, elder, some of you even calling yourself apostle. And we don't want to get you upset about that, because you know that there were 12 of those. And then Jesus appointed Paul himself as one, and one was a traitor. And he didn't even make it to become an apostle. He was a disciple. So tonight we're just going to talk about, what about the charge that we accepted, my brothers and sisters? Are we sticking to the assignment that we were charged to keep before God and the Lord Jesus Christ? With everything that's going on around us, does it show that we have kept our charge and we are on our assignment? Are we going out confronting things and stepping to issues that we know are not godly and that is affecting a multitude of people, and we're the church? He told Peter, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades, which is hell, will not be able to prevail against it. I said something last week about that. I said something about God's hedge of protection around us, right? God's full armor on us, right? God's guardian angels around us, right? Us dipped and cleansed in the blood of Jesus, right? So how does hell prevail against you? When he said it will not be able to. Why is so much hell running rampant and we're not doing anything about it? And let me say this. Let me put my disclaimer out there. For those that are out there working in the vineyards, doing the work of the Lord in the highways and the byways, listen, we love you. God bless you. We are praying for you. We're right there with you in the spirit. But those that are trying to get there, find the light. Go to Galatians 5 and separate the two, the different genres of people, and then you will know who carries the light of Christ. Then you will know who's the salt of the earth when you read that chapter. And Elder Melvin pushes that every night. But also, let me tell you something. Stop letting your brothers and sisters go out there making a mockery out of themselves. That's the best word I can use. You see them doing it, you say nothing. You hear it be done, you say nothing. You understand what I'm saying? So it's time to say enough is enough now. We're at that stage where enough is enough. And what's on my heart tonight, this is my issue tonight that I'm bringing to the table. We as the church are the most powerful entity on earth. We represent the kingdom of God. We are his children. We are ambassadors. We were given an assignment at the beginning of time to stand guard, have dominion over his land, over his animals, everything except man. And we've allowed man to come in and take charge and let the evil overtake him and do evil things unto the people and to the land. And we as the body of Christ with many members should be on one accord, one Lord, one church, one baptism, saying enough is enough. God is not pleased, and neither is the church. I'm talking about the real church of Jesus the Christ, Yahshua the HaMashiach. So there's my issue, and I'm about to open up the line to bring my folks on, because once I throw the issue out there, everybody has a chance to come in. We're not talking about the two-minute warning. This is just a conversation this first hour. So that's my issue. My brothers, I see you holding on, so I'm about to bring everybody on. God bless and good evening. That's been my issue for a minute. We as the church should come on one accord and get it in a unified front and step up against everything that's going wrong, the deceit of the people, you know what I'm saying, the manipulation that's going on from Congress, the Senate, the White House, to the pulpit, to the parking lot, to your house, to the community, everywhere. We need to step up and do something about it. So that's how I feel. That's my issue. So let's break chains and get into it. All right. Want to say good evening. God bless. Elder Melvin, I want to bring you on first, sir. You heard my topic. You heard my issue. What say you on my issue? God bless you. Good evening. Break chain.
Good evening, everybody. Radio Land, my sisters and brothers, everybody. I hope this radio broadcast finds you doing well. Pastor, you're talking about charge. I look at it in two different ways. You take, even as a child, you still have a charge. I'll give you a charge there. You know what that is? Just obedient to your parents as a child. Now, fast forward a little bit, you become an adult. You got a charge right there. You got a family. It's up to you to take care of that family and make sure all their needs are met or however you want to look at it. But it's a charge there, too. It's mainly it's an obligation. Some charges are just self. They're just self-nature. They come in. Then you got the big master charge that comes from my daddy up above. You may be as a leader. Even if you're a follower, you still have a charge there. That's being obedient to the leader and mainly being obedient to God. What he said, Pastor Terry, every night, we all have a purpose. You can even be a good follower. It's still there time. You can just look over and say, do you know Christ? If it's nothing else but just that simple question, as a sheep in a pasture, do you know my daddy? What's wrong with that? It's nothing wrong with just asking somebody that. But let's say you are a lender. Am I my brother's keeper? Yes, you are. That's a charge. My brother weep, I weep. My brother mourn, I mourn. My brother joyful, I joyful. I'm joyful. My brother sad, I'm sad. That's a charge. Believe it or not, we are one unit. It doesn't seem that way, but we are one unit. We look out for each other. All of that includes what God purpose is for us and what my purpose for us. We look out for each other. That's not me. That's not Pastor Will. That's my daddy. We're supposed to take care of one another. I was studying ecclesiastically while when Solomon was talking, and I picked up on when he's speaking of wisdom and knowledge. And he found it to be vanity because everything was I'm going to go back and count them because I like to be specific. I read so many I's and I picked it up. I said, oh, wow, everything Solomon is saying is about self. Not one time did I see nothing was said with all this wisdom and knowledge for Christ was in there. So it led me to believe you can have that earthly wisdom and that earthly knowledge. There is a difference. Everything was I. When you look at the problems of this world right now, that is one of our main problems. Everything is I. We go to work, come back, make our money, boom, bam, thank you, man. That's it. Don't think about nobody else but I, unless it's my family. What about the ones you don't know? What about that statement he made to me? The poor will always be among you. My daddy didn't tell me that just to be telling me that. Why would you tell me that? They'll always be among you, the poor. You know, the poor is the one that can't do for himself like you would like to. He lives what you call meager affair, less than others. It's up to us to reach down and bring him. I truly believe this, but that's what I do. I live it. I practice it daily. That's nothing but reaching him. A man out there on the street, $2 or $3, I don't care what he does with it. That's not my business. My business will be to my daddy. The poor will always be among you, Melvin. Do what you can do. You know what you just did? You got out of what Solomon was talking about in the book of Ecclesiastes. And I'm pretty sure Pastor Will will agree with me on that because he once sent me there. And I told him I was going to study, and I just called that in the first, second, and third chapter. Me. And as long as you have all the wisdom and knowledge you want to, but you may have what you call earthly wisdom and knowledge, you do well in society, home, all this stuff. And I think so well I read in there also. Solomon was saying then he turned it over to the next, which means you're going to leave everything here. You didn't put up nothing in heaven. You didn't put nothing up in heaven for you to have. Will you get chances to enjoy that? From God and Solomon, I don't think so. Because you never had God in your life. If you didn't have God in it, how could you look out for your sister and your brother? So did you keep the charge from heaven? No. Thank you, Pastor.
Amen. God bless you, sir. Thank you. All right. Let's keep it moving. All right. Going to bring it on, Pastor Joseph. It's on you now, sir. What's your comment on my issue that I brought to the table? God bless you. Good evening, sir. Break chains.
Amen. Praise the Lord, everybody. I thank God for another day. Thank God for breaking chains. Amen. I just love how Christ said it. He said it so, so good. You know, we are charged to seek first the kingdom of God. And I think if we just come together as kingdom citizens, because when we study our history, we found out that, you know, when they brought the Africans over here, the black people over here, you know, they beat the culture out of them. You know, they beat so much stuff that we stood on, so much stuff that we held high standards. And it's amazing how they made us become one with something that really wanted the will of God, just become one with just all this stuff now in the Western world. So just, you know, seeking the kingdom of God is so important. You know, it's so, so important because the world system today, it's based on this social system. It's based on, you know, people, structure, rules, and secret agendas that they have. And, you know, this world system, it is a force. It is a force, but the kingdom of God, I believe, is a force also. It's continue to seek the kingdom and just not neglected. I feel like we kind of been, the body of Christ been neglecting and forgetting about the kingdom of God and how it operates different. Then when we neglect it, I found that we make an exchange for these temporary things, you know, these earthly things. Apostle Paul, he said, you know, we got to provide for our own. Are we worse than the infidel? And he also said, man, don't work, don't eat. But Jesus said, labor not just for food that perish, but for food that endures for eternal life. You know, it's necessary to work for, you know, for some things, but we're supposed to also work for those things which are eternal. You know, what if we just tap into the Spirit, you know, just stay in the Spirit and walk in the Spirit and then not neglect those things of the Spirit. Maybe God wants us to get up in the morning and just worship Him for an hour or two. You know, those spiritual things, work in the Spirit realm and, you know, be about our Father's business. But I believe it's continue to seek in the kingdom of God, because when we seek God, we won't forget His purpose. You know, we won't forget why we was created. You know, we won't overlook the things of God that He has in store for us. And I think it's very important in the times we're living in, because this world system is different from the kingdom of God. I kept hearing the Lord tell me that today, that this world system is different from the kingdom of God. I was deciding on, should I get married? Then the Lord, He ministered to me about, hey, everything that's going on made me feel like not to get married. But in the kingdom of God, it operates different. You know, God might, you know, allow me to get married, but just consider and please don't forget that we must continue to speak first the kingdom of God no matter what. It seems like it's just cliche and just we hear it so much, but I believe it's more to it. It's so powerful. You know, God created man for a purpose, and he made us to rule over this nation and seek Him first. Thank you. Thank you.
Amen. God bless you, sir. Thank you very much. All right, Pastor Joseph invited a guest to us tonight, and glad to have him on everybody to know. Everybody is welcome on this platform because it belongs to God, so it's not limited to anybody. You know what I'm saying? God's doors and is open to everybody, so we have to make sure that everybody has a chance and opportunity to be a part of it. So we welcome Pastor Davis out of Georgia. God bless you, Pastor. Welcome to the show. Thank you for being here. introduce yourself and go ahead and break chains on the topic that's on the table right now. God bless you, sir.
Great. Minister Joseph is bringing tonight, and again, it's Pastor Davis. I'm here located in Atlanta, Georgia, and as I listen to everyone speak, and like Minister Joseph said, that, you know, the kingdom of God, you know, we think not like the world, because we in the world, but we in the other world. And when I think about Apostle Paul, when he church Timothy, it's so important that we think about those ones who's coming up in the faith. And we live in a very, very evil world out there, and so much deceptions out there, so many false prophets out there. And it's so important that each one be held accountable and to the Lord and to the Word, because we must be a light to make a difference in this dark world out here. And we have to, you know, man up as men and women of God, because we have to come to make a difference. And this ain't the time to panic, but it's the time to stand and let our life be a living testimony, living example according to the Word of God.
Amen. 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 So true. So true. God bless you, sir. Thank you. Thank you for being here. All right, y'all. It's time to pass the baton over. Pass this microphone over to you, Elder Melvin. It's time for you to bring your topic to the table. The mic is open to you, sir. Break chains on it. Bring it to the table.
Oh, my topic. Okay, let's. I'd like to just get something on love. Love, just like I say, it conquers all things. I remember when I was happy and how I would take these retaliatory measures quick before you could even finish your derogatory statement or everyone put it negative. But there's old saying about adding fuel to the fire, and if someone is really being negative, I forgot what nurse that word I heard you say, you can be a part of it, you don't have to be a part of it if you fall into that trap, which is Satan, and add to this negative, you just worse off with that person. But we have an option. Through love, let him speak. Don't hear him put his hands on you. Let him speak. I learned this in drug treatment. Let a person be themselves. Allow a person to be themselves. I've ever become a man with a mouth like that, and you were a fool anyway. So let him make a fool out of himself. The rest thing I find, at the end of it, you don't even contribute to it yet. It may be hard to do. I do it now, though. Hey, bro, I love you anyway. Always put that anyway on there. Anyway you're going to give, going to make him think about something. What this skeezer is talking about? I love you. It's good enough. But you say, anyway. Anyway you're going to make him look at himself. You got to know how to deal with stuff. I like that word, stuff. I don't know why. I just love it. It fits the world so good, I think. Just deal with stuff. You don't have to be come with retaliatory measures every time somebody says something or do something to you. Everybody's not alike. Even right there with the ones that call themselves the body of Christ in the church. You still do not have to fall for that trap, which is, you know, I'm hard. I'm really hard on that. Satan ways, his character, his ways of doing things. I won't say getting good at it, but I studied this rascal. And he got so many ways that he does things to call us to fall out of line with Christ. Don't be susceptible to that stuff. And the only way you're going to be able to deal with this stuff, you got to study it. I'm going to go back to Galatians. That thing just doesn't end with me. Chapter 16 through 26. I mean, verse chapter 5, verse 16 through 26. You are going to see yourself. You want to know what you are all about. And you are going to make a change. Or you're going to stay the same. And I'll charge everybody I use that word. Go to Galatians and see what you are made of. And find out what love is all about. I guarantee you, your mind, you're going to start thinking. Thank you, Pastor.
Thank you, sir. God bless you. Your topic is about love. All right. How does everybody feel about love? Everybody get your mind wrapped around that and pull your answer from your heart. I'm about to come to you in a second. Love. What can I say about love? All I can say about love is 1 Corinthians 13, starting at chapter 4. And I have to make sure that I speak of love based on what God says, because in the physical aspect of it, growing up, you didn't hear the word love come out of man's mouth unless he was talking to his wife or, you know what I'm saying, or his children. But you didn't hear it outside the household too much. You know what I'm saying? It wasn't cool to come on here and say, hey, brother, I love you, man. You know, you get talked about, you get looked at all crazy or whatever, because love was never explained properly. Okay? We have a physical love for people, but we don't, and that has diminished over the years. We don't show a lot of love, and love is absent, and I think that's why our communities and our neighborhoods have turned into hoods, because that's the it. Love of ourself first, because if I don't love me, I can't love you. So a lot of the love declined over the years. And people got lost. People felt that they were not loved because they were not shown love, because people didn't know how to show love, because they wouldn't explain what love was and what love is and what love does. You get what I'm saying? So when we talk about love, you know, I could say to you all day, I love you, because God told me the first thing Jesus said to me, I have two commandments I need from you. I got two things for you now. You know, that you love God with all your heart, mind, body, soul, everything about you, but you love your brother as I've loved you, as you love yourself. So, listen, it's a lot of times people can't love you as they love themselves because they don't love themselves. So we have to be very careful about situations. That's why Elder Melvin talked about Galatians 5, because you have to try the spirit by the spirit. And your spirit is going to tell you what category these people fit in. Do they have the fruit of the spirit, or are they coming up against trying to poison that fruit? You understand what I'm saying? But yep. 1 Corinthians 13 tells me what love is, how God sees it. Because you know what I'm saying? We try to think for God. We try to be God. We try to do things outside of God. We try to, you know what I'm saying, rush God, be about microwaves. And God don't work by our timing. You know, I told you the other night, God don't need you. You know what I'm saying? It was something about why God made us. You know? And that's something we'll talk about at a later time, but love. Guess what God said? God says love is patient. Love is kind. He said it does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It said it does not dishonor others, and I'm reading from the New International Version. It said it is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. It says love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It said it always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always preserves. Listen, it says love never fails. Excuse me. But where there are prophecies, they will cease. Where there are tongues, they will be still. Where there is knowledge, it will pass away. But my brothers and sisters, love never fails. That's what the scripture said. That's what God's word said. Ain't nothing else we can say about what love is. Love is what love does. Love is an action. Love is an action. You understand what I'm saying? That means the word love is supposed to be used as a verb as well. That means that you tell me you love me. Show me you love me. Don't just tell me. Anybody can say anything, but you better show me if you want me to believe you. My God. All right. All right, man. All right. Let me pass the mic on. I get wound up on this thing. Y'all know how I feel. Listen, trying to pass it on. Pastor Joseph, I know you're hanging on now. Elder Melvin brought up love. Talk about love, yes, sir. It's on you. Break chains.
Yes, sir. When I think about love, I think about, you know, just somebody once told me that love is like glue. It keeps people together. And people, love is so powerful. It actually affects people's life. I know sometimes, well, a lot of times, you know, loving people that make you upset, loving people that make you angry, you know, it definitely takes real agape love to do that. I know so many times, you know, people that offended me, they're just still showing them love. It has to be that God love within us, you know, and it also grows as the fruit of the Spirit. You know, it builds our character. Love is like a tool. It shapes us to be the man God created us to be, and it also have a lot of tangible health benefits. You know, people live longer that walk in love. They heal faster.
Mm-hmm.
We walk along, lower blood pressure, lower anxiety. You know, you be more at peace. I was talking to this young lady. She said she had a stroke, and the doctor said because her brain was like traffic. It was just so much going on in her brain. That's what kind of caused her to have a stroke. But, you know, when you walking in that love, it give you that peace. You know, less anxiety, and it's so important to get around that love, and people want to be loved, and love is also powerful. You know, when we study the power, but if we actually just walk in love, the more we walk in love, the more we become like God. You know, the more we just walk in that authentic love, just say, you know what, today I'm going to just walk in love. And we decide to walk in love, we're going to see all type of things come at us, but as we pass those tests, We get strong. Even if we at the warehouse working, we just loving the people that's trying to come against us at work, co-workers, but continue to walk in love and make us strong.
Come on, strong.
And then we can get through anything. But walking in that love is very powerful. It's very powerful. Thank you.
Amen. Amen. Boy, look at here. That's good. Indeed. This is good. This is good. Yep. All right. About to pass the mic. Coming to you, Pastor Davis. What say you on love, sir? Break chain.
Yes. When I look at love, I look at where God took time out with so us when we are broken in our life and all the things we have done and been through and people that we have hurt. And when I look at love, I look at God. He took our life and gave us another opportunity to turn all around, even though we didn't deserve. But because what He did when He came down the cross and He went through all the things He went through. He gave people chance after chance to get it right. That was love. So everyday life, when we wake up, we look at opportunity to show love to someone because the patience that the Lord had for us, we should have that same patience. And the only way we're going to minister to someone, we got to show love to them, even in their condition, their state they may be in. But on the flip side of that, love would make a person see that there's a God out there that don't have to go to all the other places in the world to look for that comfort to complete that void. But with love, the Lord see you where you're at and make you what you become in Christ. And just like our children, when our children go out there and do something wrong, we gonna discipline them because we love them, because we want them to understand, hey, if you go this route right here, it gonna cause dangers, it gonna cause harm to you. But love will shape a person to the place that God wants them to be.
Amen, amen, amen. Boy, the guests come in strong. Thank you, Pastor. I'm telling you, boy. Listen, you know what? 1 Peter 4:8. I'm gonna go at 7. It say the end of all things is near. Therefore, be clear-minded and sober, so that you can pray. Above all, love one another deeply. Because love covers over a multitude of sins.
Come on, someone. Come on.
Did you hear what the scripture said? See, we're just vessels being used. But these God's words. You got a problem with God's words, take it up with God. Okay? But listen to that. Now I'm just gonna use that part right there. Verse 8. above all. He say all. He say some things. In other words, above all things, love one another deeply. Because he told you to love him first with everything you got. Because love covers a multitude of sins. We all sinners and fall short of the glory. So don't you want love to cover your sins? Because love covers mine. Listen, you know how I know love covers my sins? Because John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever, see, I'm in that clique, that whosoever should believe in him should not perish but have eternal life. That's where I come in. I'm part of the whosoever. I'm in that peculiar, you know, I'm in that peculiar special chosen people over there. Oh, my God, man, look at here. Fired up. All right, let's keep it moving.
Can I interject something?
Yeah, make it quick, Pastor. We got to move on. Go ahead, sir.
With the love issue, like someone is doing you wrong or something like that, and you don't retaliate on it, but you just continue to show love to them. Like I was saying, that I mean, it happened to me. You can demonstrate this, and sometimes some people will pick that up. They will actually pick it up, and before you speak. You ever thought about saying something and you say, I hope this doesn't hurt anybody when I say these words? It may be the truth. I mean, if you speak the truth as far as right and wrong yet. But you are concerned, and if you feel remorse behind something you have said or done to someone else, let me tell you right now, sister and brother, you are a true child of God. If it hurt you that you said something that hurt somebody else, but if it doesn't, he needs to go back to the altar. Thank you.
Amen. Say, go back to the altar. I tell you. All right.
There.
And stay there. I tell you. All right, let's move on. Next up, Pastor Joseph, bring your issue to the table, sir. Break chains.
Hey, man. I believe one of the greatest questions is, what must we do to be saved? And I believe my question might be, what was one of our greatest fears, and how did we overcome it? Or if we haven't overcome it, how are we overcoming it? What was one of our greatest fears, and how did we overcome it? Just in case someone else is going through some fear and they need to overcome it, what were some things I believe that we had fear once upon a time, and how did we overcome it? Thank you.
Amen. Amen. How did we overcome the fear of what's going on? And when we gave our life up, is that what you're asking, sir? When we gave our life over to Christ?
Oh, the first question was just a question. I think that's one of the greatest questions ever. What must we do to be saved? That's why I love to hear people say, but not just neglecting that, but my number one question is, what was some fears that we dealing with, and how did we overcome it? What was some fears that we dealt with, and how did we overcome it?
Amen. Thank you, man. You know, I can honestly say this, and I'm speaking for me on that one. One of the greatest fears was not being able to get to the proper place in being in that relationship with God, and knowing who Christ was, and not knowing where I was going to spend the rest of my life, and what happens when I die, and where I was going to go. You know what I'm saying? I think that that's something that you deal with when you start hearing about God and learning about Christ and start studying your word. And then, you know, there's so much going on out here today and so much being said. And like I said, I'm speaking for me right now. You know, coming up in a wonderful church growing up, pastor that taught the word, but it was about your own personal living. You know what I'm saying? Being sometimes ashamed to open up about things that you were dealing with, and not knowing how to properly deal with that situation, or what to do, or who to talk to, because you knew that, you know, God said, this is how we're supposed to act as his children. But you see just the opposite of what God said, in his word being shown to you as you grow and as you become closer and want to get into a relationship with him, but you see things differently. So it was a fear for me to want to really accept it, you know what I'm saying, and to come into it because of what I was seeing. You know, I was hearing one thing, but I wasn't seeing the same thing that I was hearing. You know, when they tell you you're going to talk the talk, so walk the walk. You know what I'm saying? They were talking the talk, but they weren't walking the walk. You know, it's just like our overseer, Pastor Kim, would say, you know what I'm saying? It's like you hallelujah, praise the Lord in our face, but you get home, you kicking the dog, beating the cat, and slapping your wife or kicking your husband. You understand what I'm saying? So that was something that I had to deal with because I didn't know how to separate them when I was in the world. But nobody told me that, you know, I had to find out for myself. Straddling the fence as a man hurts in areas that it don't hurt nobody else. You feel what I'm saying? So I was double-minded, unstable in all my ways.
Yes, indeed.
I didn't understand it. So I was in fear because I knew that I was just a sinner going straight to hell. You hear what I said? But then I heard that voice when he called me. And then he told me, I got you, but you need to study to show yourself approved before me. Not them. Before me. So for those of you out there that went through something similar like I'm saying, can't speak for anybody else. Don't fear. Don't worry. Don't run. Because God said in Deuteronomy 31:6, listen to what he says now, and this still lives for you today. He say, be strong and courageous. He say, do not be afraid or terrified because of them. For the Lord your God goes with you, and he will never leave you nor forsake you. So guess what? I don't care what you heard, but God got me. God say, if I be for you, who could be against you? Guess what, brothers and sisters? It don't matter who against me. God be for me. Amen. All right. We pass the baton over. Elder Melvin, how about you on that, sir? Break James.
Pastor, you brought up a good one. Right now, I'm going to talk to the world. I came up as a Christian at least about 20 years old, and I went out into the world after I come out the military. And there was no fear. That was nothing but happiness with those drugs in 1973, 74, 75. I mean, it was happiness. I don't know whether I should say joy, but then I started, something happened. I started going to God and said, God, I'm sick of this. I'm sick of this, and he wouldn't say a word. Ladies and gentlemen, this is the truth. Because you into drugs like I was, your situation ain't no different. The drug don't change, we do, but it ain't no different. I started begging him. You know what my daddy told me? You better do something with all this organization I got down there. You better try and get in some of them. I'm coming down there and wiping those drugs out of your life. That's exactly what he told me. I took my sucker duck and got into treatment. One. Then nothing happened. Went back, got my sucker duck and went to 2, 3, and 4. Then nothing happened. When I got to number 5, the happiness, it just wasn't as happy. I mean, the joy wasn't there no more. I didn't realize it was a change taking place. But let me tell you how my daddy worked. You sat on your shucky ducky and beg all day, all night, from this one step from the cradle to the grave. My daddy ain't going to do nothing. So you get up off of your shucky ducky and do something to help yourself. And Pastor and everybody out there in that world, I know about the drugs. I'm telling you right now, when I decided that I didn't want to do this anymore, and I used the organization, I used these organizations in the real sense, not just going there, laying up and stay 6 months and go back out there and do it. I didn't want to bump my head no more. He stepped in. I was scared. The old saying is hell. I was truly scared. until I learn that. I didn't give you a spirit of fear. I give you a spirit of sound mind. But that's what Pastor just said. You had to study to know how my daddy works. So it's no fear no more. I don't do drugs. If I want to take a drink, it might be a Virgin Mary. I love tomatoes. I mean, but I'm just trying to show you world there is a way. But he's not going to come down here. He's not going to send no angel. He ain't sending no spirit. He ain't sending none of that. You sitting on your chucky ducky. I cannot play with you. Get up and do something and watch my day at work. Thank you.
Amen. God bless you, Elder. Thank you. Thank you. All right, Pastor Davis, it's on you, sir. How you feel about that? That Pastor Joseph put out Break Chains on it, sir.
Thank you, Pastor Joseph.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. One thing I wanted to say, it made me think about Romans 3:10, when the Bible said there's none that understands, there's none that seek after God. And also is inspired about there's no righteous, not one. And one thing that I have learned from my experience in life and being a believer now, no matter what a person do, that person will never find that peace, that inner peace within themselves until they come to the knowledge to understand they are sinners and there's nothing they can do to convince themselves. And a person has to get to the place they are broken. They have to have a broken heart. And, you know, people come to you and say, hey, what must I do to save? But when you get them to talk and say, well, what in your life, what's your hindrance in your life? What things in your life that you're attached to that you know, that you won't let go? And it's very important for a person to know, to realize that Christ is the only way. He's the only way going to make a person whole and complete. But until that person comes to that knowledge that they need help, they are broken, they're sorrowful in their own sin, and they know that their life is at stake, that nothing going to happen to that person coming full of knowledge. And I speak from my own experience when I was young, real young, and that was so important. You know, I have daughters, and I talk to them all the time. I said, well, you have some God in your life now, just go through the process. Because, you know, once you get saved, it's an everyday going process. So a person that comes want to know that they got to have a broken heart, that they know that, hey, I'm tired, and I'm trying to do my own. I did everything. I did drug, sex, everything, relationship. But now I know that this world ain't for me. It's got to be another way.
Amen. Amen to that now. All right, brothers, that's powerful. Came with some powerful topics out there. All right, Pastor Davis, it's time for your topic now, sir, your issue that you want to bring to the table. If you got one you want to put on the table, sir, the door is open to you now. Break chain.
Yes. One thing I would like to put on the table is fear. Because I know this time we're living now that, you know, a lot of, you know, people, especially the body of Christ, is operating in fear of fear now. But, you know, God do not give us the spirit of fear. And that one thing that, you know, I like to put on the table, though, because the church has to take a stand. And, you know, the same God it was centuries, years and centuries ago, it is still the same God now. So that's what I like to bring to the table.
Hey, man, that's good. I like that. All right, we're coming across the top of the hour. Everybody get prepared to answer Pastor Davis, and we're going to go into the top of the hour. We're going to be right back, pay our top of the hour song, and we're going to do that. And we come back, brother, stand by. We're going to be ready for that, all right? I got to put this song on. Everybody out there, we're going to step out of the ring for a second because y'all said something early, and I got to play this song. Okay, I found it. All right, here we go. All right, everybody, hang on. You're listening to Young Adults Talk with Break Your Chains. YAT Radio is live, 858-357-9137. Let your friends know we live stream at www.blogtalkradio.com/YAT Radio. You can log on at any time and listen to the archive shows. You can catch this show at a later date tomorrow. You can download it right there to your computer. Here's something for you. Check this out. We going old school because we definitely are this right here. If you know this song, man, sing it to the Lord and let him sing to you and minister to your spirit. And he can't play that. I can play whatever I want. We breaking chains. YAT Radio. Let's get it. Check this out.
We'll be right back.
now time for Breaking Chains on YAT Radio, where we will be discussing the importance of spiritual, mental, and physical health. Get involved in the conversation by calling in at 858-357-9137 or catch the live stream at www.blogtalkradio.com/YAT Radio.
All right. God bless you. Welcome back to the show. Tonight's show is being brought to you by the Williams Group and Jade Ari Enterprises. What's going on with you? Pastor Rod hanging out, Elder Melvin, Pastor Joseph, Pastor Davis, our special guest tonight. Oh, man, we having a powerful show. We're going to answer Pastor Davis' question in just a second, his issue that he brought to the table. I want to say something about that song I played. I played that song right there because that was brought up earlier in last hour about us being one. God didn't create black, white, you know, Chinese, Japanese. He created mankind. And we all are one. We all God's children. You know, and listen, he created all of us. You know what I'm saying? But whether or not we accept his son Jesus is a different story because everybody does it. You understand what I'm saying? So he's coming back for his children that comes through his son Jesus, because Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Nothing comes to the Father without coming through me. So until everybody accepts that, you know what I'm saying, there are going to be some issues because scripture also tells you that every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. You know what I'm saying? He is the Lord of Lord, King of Kings. So that's something Pastor Davis talked about, fear. So let's throw the mic around and respond about fear before we get into our two-minute warning. Let me say this about fear. A lot of people fear because they don't have the full understanding about who God is. They don't have the full understanding, the full teachings, and the full knowledge of how God operates. They don't have the full insight on his son, Jesus the Christ. And even when you say his Hebrew name, Yahshua the HaMashiach, you understand, a lot of these things still cause confusions in people's lives. So there's a fear just from the lack of knowledge. Let's just say that. From the lack of knowledge. And he say, my people perish and they suffer because of that, for the lack of knowledge. Mm-hmm. And then he said that they reject the knowledge. But it's so accessible now today in 2021 than it was 20, 30 years ago. You know, I can even say 20, 30 years ago, how fast technology has advanced, that you can read about anything, find anything that you want, if you would just take the time. See, the fear is the lack there of the knowledge. And the fear for us is that the people will perish because of it. We fear that for the people as being children of God. Our hearts are heavy because of that as children of God. If your heart is not heavy for what you see going on around you, you can't be a true child of God. You can't be. If you don't see all the murder, all the dying, all the manipulation, all the stealing, you know, all the taking advantage of the people, if that's not affecting you, I got to just say it like it is. You belong to the devil. My heart is heavy every day, but I have to give it over to the Lord because I see it with my physical eyes. I hear with my ears. But we come on here, brothers and sisters.
Yes.
To put it out there and talk about it and rebuke Satan out in the open in the name of Jesus the Christ. So don't fear. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. Amen. All right, let me pass the mic. Woo, my God. All right, passing the mic over to you, Elder Melvin. Talk about fear, sir.
Well, when I look at fear has a brother, and that brother is me. Think about it. You don't have fear for nothing happening about you. You have fear for yourself. What's going to happen to me? What people going to say about me? Will I get robbed? You notice how everything is I. pastor just said it. Now, my daddy said, I'll be with you until the end of time. So if you still have fear, no matter what it is, it'll be something physically. He also said, well, I left you a way out of everything. So then what comes in there? That trust and faith comes in. That's when you click that, you know, I mean, you change from that person to this person. Oh, wait a minute. I just thought about the promises that my daddy made. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to click in. I'm going to jump into one of these rafters. He said, oh, you'll be with me. He left me a way out of everything. So while you sitting up there and thinking about fear, what you need to be trying to think about is what avenue he got for me in this situation. This particular situation, you fear this? What avenue he left for me? He said, I stand on God's word. And when you throw your word up to him, he can put his finger up on his chin and listen. Thank you.
Amen. Amen. God bless you, sir. Thank you very much. All right, Pastor Joseph, on you, sir. Fear. What say you on that? Break chain, sir.
Amen. Amen. We do, like Pastor was saying, you know, Satan, he doing everything in his power to keep the body of Christ in fear, because fear, it paralyzes us. It keeps us in a standstill. I remember I used to be at fear losing my parents, you know, because the small town of Mobile, you know, a lot of people know my parents and stuff, and it would have brought so much heaviness to my heart. But as the man of God said, I had to give it to God. I truly had to give it to God. And realize that, hey, my parents also belong to God, and I thank God for all the time he allowed me to borrow them. And I truly gave it to God, and just really just giving it to God and consistently giving to God. And what I love about Jesus, he said, the word of God said, God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. And that sound mind means a controlled mind. You know, we got to control that coming emotion, which is fear. You know, most people deal with fear. It's a common thing. Moses dealt with it. The guys that went to pick out the spies and said they was giants, you know, they dealt with it. Adam and Eve dealt with it. And so, but what I love about Jesus, I believe the Bible says that in love there is no fear, but perfect love casts out fear. And so what I learned about Jesus, his very thoughts was love. You know, he replaced it. Well, I don't think he really had fear like that. But it showed me that when fear come, I have to replace it with love. And just Jesus' every thoughts was love. His action was love. You know, his character was love. I think he operated in so much love that fear couldn't get in. And so it's just so encouraging that perfect love drives out fear. Even though it's trying to knock and get in, but continue to walk in love and singing, yes, Jesus loves me. Yeah, and just building a foundation, knowing that God loves us is so important. And I just thank God for the word of God that teaches us that perfect love catches out fear. And that's one thing I dealt with by my parents, you know, just bearing them and stuff, but God, he dealt with me on that heavily, and I just had to give it to God. And now when I see him, I just love on him because love, it can also bring longer life. Thank you.
Amen. Amen. God bless you. God bless you. All right. I see our overseer has joined us. He's here right before we start that two-minute warning. So let's bring him in and let him comment on fear. Everybody want to bring our overseer on. Pastor Dr. Levert Kemp, Pastor, good evening to you. Pastor Kemp, say good evening to Pastor Davis. He's our special guest from Atlanta, Georgia. He's on with us tonight, and his topic that he brought up, his issue, was a question on fear. How do we, you know, help the people that are in fear right now with things going on around us and everything? So comment on that, Pastor. Good evening. God bless you. And break change.
God bless you. Good evening to each and everyone. God bless and be with you. I was listening in, and when I think about fear, I think about what Reverend Joseph said, that God had not given us the spirit of fear, but a sound mind. And when I think about fear, God
has given us the ability to understand. In the 23rd Psalm, he told us, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Having faith, you know, we have those two brothers, Grace and Mercy. And, you know, those two brothers follow us. He says, surely grace and mercy shall follow you all the days of your life. So we have someone with us. And the Bible does speak of us having God and angels that they're with us. And then the Bible says it teaches us, too, that no weapon formed against us shall prosper. And then he's talking about the spiritual realm as well as this physical realm. And then he says, if I have faith in Christ, even if I lose my earthly battle, I'm a winner because I have a heavenly home. So many people fear because we have a fear of the unknown, What is going to happen to me on the other side? What's going to happen if I go broke? Because oftentimes we judge ourselves who we are is predicated upon what others think or say of us, and we try to elevate to ourselves to other people's standards, and we have a fear of rejection. We have a fear of not making that mark. But God tells us, and the Bible tells us in Timothy, you know, that with food and clothes would such thing be content. And, you know, the Bible, you know, God is going to provide for us everything that we need. Sometimes what we do, we put too much on ourselves, and we would want certain things that God is not going to give us. So we go into fear. I've been in the military during the wartime. I didn't have fear because other people had went, but then when you get there, then you fear because it's unknown and different things start happening, which is you don't have the understanding of it, and when you see the suffering. But if you are a real child of God, you have the ability to know, if this physical body died, I know that I have a heavenly kingdom. You know, you could kill my body, but my spirit going to live on. My spirit and soul lives on with the Lord. So when we have that faith, our faith begins to waver, and we get to be afraid. Every time God shows up in the Bible, an angel, he says, fear not. And what he was saying, don't be afraid of what you're seeing, because it's something different from what you're used to seeing. But he's sending these things to us. And what God wants us to do is not to live in fear, but to live with a spirit that gives us sound mind and good judgment, and to have that faith that his grace, unmerited favor, and his mercy, what he feared for us, the kindness of his heart, is going to always be with us. And so when I think about fear, I think of a person not having a true walk. Don't get me wrong. We're going to be afraid at certain times. But we get afraid like we studied Job tonight in Bible study. And God had to take Job to court. And he began to interrogate Job and ask Job, where was he? In other words, Job was fearing because he was sick. He had lost all these things in his life, and he was afraid, but God had to bring him to court to ask him and let him know, you don't have room to question me. We question God too much. We need to have faith in God and quit fearing, because you have no control of your destiny. God is omniscient. He knows everything, and everything in our life is predestined by God. Amen. God bless you.
Amen. God bless you, Pastor. Thank you very much, sir. Glad you got in that before we kicked off to 2-minute warning. And so everybody, Pastor Davis, I know you don't know about this, so we're about to do a 2-minute warning for a few minutes going to the bottom of the hour. And so what we do is that I throw a question out there, and you got 2 minutes to give your best answer to that question. So everybody take your gloves off, put your brass knuckles on, It's time for the two-minute warning. All right, you ready? Here's my first question. We are the Church of God. We're God as ambassadors. We're his representatives. We're here to do the work. We were given the Great Commission. We were given an assignment. Here's the question. When you look around and look at the streets, the highways and the byways, does it look like God's streets and highways and byways? Is it looking like God's block, or is it looking more like man's block? Elder Melvin, it's on you. Your 2 minutes starts right now. Break chains.
Why are you looking at it in the secular sense or the non-spiritual sense? It looks like man's block. A lot of God's ways, probably to this world, is invisible. And if you don't know nothing about his characteristics, it is invisible to you. The only thing I could tell you is what we say and Pastor said to study, to show yourself approved, and I guarantee you, you will perceive, your perception will be different than what you, the way you are seeing things. Now, God is at work. He's in control. So when I look at that, I'm going to look at it in the spiritual sense. Even though all this stuff is happening around me, I am in the eye of the hurricane where there's peace, tranquility, rest. This is the way I look at life. I have no choice. I've been around that other stuff. I ain't going back there. So if the world won't look at it like that, that's the world. Me, I'm going to look at it. I'm in the eye of Hurricane Katrina. Thank you.
Amen. Amen. God bless you, sir. God bless you. See, he's in the eye of the hurricane. All right. All right, Pastor Joseph, coming to you, sir. Same question. Your 2 minutes starts right now. Break chain.
Amen. Yes, sir. I believe to see God in the street, we must have him in our mind. We must see him in our head. You know, we must pray through the day. Not just praying through the day, we must also rejoice. You know, it's so much anger out there in the streets and confusion. You know, it's good to pull up with that joy of the Lord on you. When you pull up to your friends, your neighbor house, and, you know, let your gratitude rule your attitude. Some people can't control their attitude. Young people, I mean, bad attitudes, temper. You know, we should be able to have more wisdom than these, you know, young kids that's making other parents upset, things like that. So rule our attitude, you know, by dwelling on those good things. Hold on to that which is good and inject that love into our community. Just like they inject those drugs into their bodies, no, we inject that love into one another's in our community and do it intentionally. They might not know, but hey, we injecting that love into the streets every time we go out there and let that light shine, the source of that light. And don't quench, you know, the Spirit of God, but let that light shine in that darkness. Thank you.
Amen. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. All right, Pastor Davis, that same question, sir. Your 2 minutes starts right now. Break chains.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. When I look at the streets, it looked like man more in control as you look around. And it's so important that as a believer of Jesus Christ, as a body, that we reverse the things that are going on with much love out there and get more involved in the community so that the body of Christ can shine. And a lot of the things go on because people feel like they don't have no value in their life. Their life not worthy. And people have, you know, made many mistakes. Don't try everything. A person lose hope. So as us getting out there, roll our sleeves up, do volunteer, get into school, get into prison, let our light shine. We're in the workplace, even though a lot of, you know, chaos is going on. But go out and just be a representative of Jesus Christ. As Jesus, when Jesus came down, he felt man pain. He felt what man went through. He got rejected. And in many cases, we'll be rejected as well. But we have to, you know, endure the suffering. And the Bible says we're going to endure a long suffering for the sake of Christ. And as we go through that, but the love of Christ will shine. so that way we'd be more visual in this community where we go, because old days, you know, the church, you know, it wasn't nothing for the church to go to houses and pray. And I think it's very important for us as a people to be more visible in community with the church. And yes, you see a whole lot of negative things go on, but what can the body do to make a difference, to be a witness in their everyday life? And that's so important. I can look and see what's wrong. I can talk about how bad things are, but being an example with a community, what difference can we make? God going to do the change to being obedient, and I think that's so important.
All right. All right. God bless you. Thank you for that, sir. All right. Going to the overseer, Pastor, we're coming to you now, Pastor Kemp, and we want to hear what you got to say on that. Your 2 minutes starts right now, sir. Break chains. Pastor Kemp, unmute.
Okay, I'm off mute. I listened, and I think that the church is not doing the job that we're supposed to do. I don't see the church doing the Great Commission. I see Muslims. I see the Mormons going and trying to bring people into the kingdom. But I don't see the church, the Christian church, doing it. What I see is the church coming together, having a concert, and leave church. See, you could praise God and do all that, go there and hallelujah and jump up like nine sisters in a holy church. You could do all those things, but until you start doing what the Word of God asked you to do. He said, go ye therefore and teach all nations. We're to go out and make disciples. He said, make disciples of all nations, teaching them to observe all things I've taught you. The church is not doing it. We go to church and the music is good and we dance and we lay hands and people are not getting healed and people are not doing this, and we have a hocus pocus gospel, and it's so much that the church is failing in doing today. And we're not trying to seek and save the lost. Jesus came and died for the sins of the world. He came but to seek and save that which was lost. He came but for the lost sheep of the house of Israel. So therefore, he's trying to save the lost. And we're supposed to be walking in Jesus' footsteps, but we're not doing it. We are so busy trying to beat the people out of their money. We're so busy being pulpit pimps and trying to see how much money we could get. It's no such thing as a prosperity gospel. You know, he said if someone even teach you that godliness is a means of gain, in 1 Timothy 6, 6 chapter 5 verse, he said, from such a one withdraw yourself. Get around them if they're teaching that. But the reason the streets are raising people, they have the money, they have the partying, and homosexuality is at, I mean, I have never seen anything like this. The gay and lesbian, transgender movement. All this stuff is popping up everywhere. And you say, Christians, are we doing something? All right. Jesus came to die for the sins of the world. But we telling people they're supposed to be rich. And we tell them that then we want to get up in church and dance the same dance we dance in the ballroom and then call it a holy dance. See, the thing about the Word of God is when you say you're hiding it in your heart, but you might not sin against it.
See, over 2 minutes.
See, salvation and obedience is a verb. It's action. We have to live by the Word of God. We're not practicing what we're preaching. We go to church. And when we come out of church, we go back to living the same life we've been living. And we're not that beaten in life for the community. So when I see our kids killing one another, I see all kind of things going on, the drugs, the people think drugs. They're supposed to make money by selling drugs. Because we didn't have the training. And, oh, okay. God bless you.
Pastor just got the flag. All right, y'all. Let's move to the next one. Everybody's ready. So what Pastor Kim just said and what Pastor Davis just said leads me to my next question. With things that we know we're supposed to be doing, we should be doing, here's my question. Why aren't we doing it then if we know that we have an assignment that we're supposed to be doing it? Why are we being so disobedient again? Elder Melvin, your 2 minutes starts now. Break chains, sir.
Well, the things that I should do, I do them not. The things I hate, those are the things that I do. Romans 7:14-15. So it's we got still, this is a spiritual realm. Satan is the adversary of my deadhead. He's going to do whatever he can do to shield God's purpose for us. And if we don't study, I have to go back to the study. You're going to fall into this trap. The guy, he got his job to do. And if you don't know the characteristics of Satan and the characteristics of God, you can differentiate the difference. You got a problem. You need to go where the word is being taught verse by verse so you may live accordingly to who you got to answer in the end, which is Christ. Thank you.
Amen. That is so true. So true. That's who you got to answer to. God bless you, sir. Thank you very much. All right, coming to you, Pastor Joseph. We know what we're supposed to be doing. So why are we not doing it? Your 2 minutes starts now, sir. Break chains.
Amen. Yes, sir. I just like to say how the Bible is just describes God so awesome and so great. You know, holy, pure, good, righteous, just. You know, he's merciful. He's trustworthy. He's faithful. You know, he's a God of grace. He's full of love. And so the more we learn about God, we actually learn about ourselves. And I think people really don't know who they are. That culture been beat out of us, you know, as we got here. But we're just remembering who we are, and we can walk with our head up, and we are here to be leaders, you know, to this nation. Even in Africa, they have over 2,200 different languages, you know, and just... And just knowing the intelligence that we have and who we are as a person, as an individual, some people feel like they're devalued, they have no value, they're nothing, you know, they just a waste of time on earth, they need to be get rid of. But just knowing who we are, just knowing that God, he called us to reflect his image and his qualities is very important, and we could do the will of God with our head up. You know, we could do it without, we could do it standing strong. In Jesus' name, just knowing who we are and knowing what we was created to reflect the qualities of God, that trustworthiness, that mercifulness, that righteousness, and all those good things for the great commission. Thank you.
All right. God bless you, sir. Thank you. All right, Pastor Davis, it's on you, sir. Your 2 minutes starts now. Break chains. Pastor Davis, unmute. All right. I think we lost him. Okay. Pastor Kemp, your 2 minutes starts now, sir. Why aren't we doing it? Break chains.
The whole principle, what I was trying to say was, we're not living by it. We could get the word, but if we're not living and practicing the word, you know, everything is a verb. It's action. We have to live by the word of God. Too many people get the word, but they don't live by the word. So many people are attending churches today. They're getting the word, but they're not practicing the word. Our job is to take the word of God to the world, make disciples. We take it and like it's just something for ourselves. No. Once we get it, see, we have too many I, me, and my. Everything is about me. It's not about you. There's no I in team. We're team Jesus. And we're supposed to, the church is a team. And we're supposed to go out and make disciples of others. We're to seek and save the lost. And the way we save them is they could tell the fruit, the tree by the fruit it bear, by the way that that we live and the way we carry ourselves and the things that we do show people that we're living for Christ. We can't go out and curse everyone out, kick the cats, dump the dog, curse everybody out, but yet we want people to say we're following Christ. Follow me as I follow Christ. No. We have to stop and start doing the same thing that the Jehovah Witness doing. They go from door to door. The Muslim go and sell paper, they go do some of everything to draw people in. Here we are, as Christian, we go in and we go behind four walls, sing and dance, and then leave the church and not saving one lost soul. So, you know, we have to start thinking about what we're doing. Why am I here? Am I a disciple? Am I a follower of Christ? I'm a steward. I'm a caretaker. I'm an ambassador. I'm a representative of Christ in this world. We're supposed to learn it, but we're supposed to take it throughout the world. He says they start in Samaria and to the uttermost parts of start at home, and then you take it all around. So it's time that we stop playing church and be church. See, you are the church, but you ought to go out and save the lost. That stuff that we do now, going there and hear all kind of music and just get in prayer. See, faith without work is dead. It says, show me your faith, I show your works. In other words, the reason you do what you do, go out and try to save and minister to people and give to the poor, help the widows, the orphans, is because you are saved. You know, we do what we do, but all we want to do now, we think it's just about money and everybody's supposed to be well and people dying every day, but we say we have this power. No, the apostles and Jesus had. It's time we try to save people from their sin and they can live forever with eternal life. God bless you.
Amen. God bless you. Thank you, Pastor. All right, Pastor Davis, if you're still there.
Yes, sir, I'm back. Somehow I got disconnected.
Okay, that's good, sir. Why aren't we doing what we're supposed to be doing? Go ahead and answer that. Your 2 minutes starts right now, sir. Break, chains.
Okay. I honestly believe the reason why we're not doing what we should be doing because a lot of people in the church don't know what to do because traditionally most church in the body is pretty much more like program. But if we look at the pattern of Jesus' ministry, Jesus went among the people where the people was. He went where the need was at. He had creative ways how he approached the people. He gathered the people, and he dealt with them where they was at. And I honestly believe when the Lord saved us out of the world, he saved us out of the world so he can change our life from where we was so we can meet others out there who going down that same path that the Lord took us out of. And I think that once we had that experience in our own personal life, what God brought us out of, then we can be creative. We go out there to reach people out there, and you know, in the world, they have football, they have concerts, they have parties, they have everything in the world, they have car races. The church has to have God's word to be the heartbeat, the center of anything in the community that be done where the gospel can be preached. But the church just can't be religious. You got to be out, get out there and find a clean, creative way to get among the people and in the park. You know, go in the park, put a big old stage up in the park, give away food, do cookouts. And, you know, a person just has to be creative because people look at church as being boring. They go to their church person, but it's not boring. It's all about God's word. So we have to get a community of people together. And everybody has to do their part because one man can't do it all. Everybody has different work schedules. People have different things going on. So you have to be creative and get people out there and find something to reach the people where they're at.
All right. Well, God bless. Thank you very much for that. We got to get on our job, y'all. We got an assignment to do. Your assignment is not done until God takes your last breath. If you're a child of His, you constantly at work, in season, out of season. Be ready to preach the word. Hey, we're going to take our final break. When we come back, we're going to get our final comments in and our Black History honoree for tonight and our health tip. All right, hang on. You listen to Breaking Chains, YAT Radio. Guess what, though? We going to be all right. You better believe that.
It gets so hard just trying to figure it out, fighting doubt, trying to believe God, trying to watch the words in my mouth and stay on the ride. Trouble come and go, even on the mountain high or the valley low. Never let your faith go. Oh, never let your faith go. I've been there before, so confused, don't know which way to go. Stressed out, world so crazy, might as well stay in the house. Fear trying to rise up, got terrorists disguised, they look like us, but we know who we trust. Trust when I say that we gon' be alright. We gon' be alright. Tell them, we gon' be alright. Alright. Say we gon' be alright. In these last days, evil times will come, and it's here today. Look at all the hate, senseless crime and murder, day to day. Human trafficking, racism, police brutality, bullying, rape, trouble and shame, shame, let your kingdom come, let your will be done in the earth. Let your glory rise, let your sun shine, let it burn. We'll shout, cause we know after the night, say it, we gon' be alright. Hey, if this was just get for good, we gon' be alright. Sometimes get it from me, I knew it was.
Breaking Chains with Young Adults Talk on YAT Radio.
You better scream that it's going to be all right. It's already all right for real because God got our back. All right, y'all, that's God. We got about a few more minutes, man. We're going to get our final comments in, and we're going to get our Black History honoree. So let's open up the mics and get our comments in. Elder Melvin, take a minute or so and give your final comments to the people. God bless. Mic is open to you, sir.
I'd like to say, hopefully that someone got something out of these, the ministers at the mics tonight. But one of my final comment, I want you guys to look at the 27th chapter of Proverbs. Take your time and read it. Don't just run through it. Take your time and read. That's going to give you revelation, insight. And I want to close with the 5th chapter of Galatians. I want you to see yourself. You got to know who you are before you can figure out what you're going to do or even your purpose. You got to know that. Look at the 5th chapter, and I want you to focus a little bit on the 6th 15th verse through the 26th verse. And see, can you find some identification in those verses for yourself? Thank you and good night.
God bless you, sir. God bless you. All right, Pastor Joseph, final comments, please.
Hey, amen. I just like to agree about just making disciples and teaching people how to be disciples. It's not about us, but it's for us to get a hold to it and just spread it. That was just so good, you know, and so refreshing. Just hear everything all the ministers and pastors were saying is awesome. You know, we may not be experts in everything and every aspect of our life, but we can definitely make disciples. I believe we can definitely work with somebody and, you know, continue to make fruits and produce and multiply, which is the will of God. And it just took me up another level to make disciples. I'm excited. I thank God for the night. And my focus is on making disciples. Hallelujah. Thank you. God be the glory. Thank you. Yes,
glory
sir.
To God. Amen, sir. God bless you. Glory to God. All right. Pastor Kemp, your final comment, sir. God bless you. Pastor Kemp, unmute.
Okay, amen. I'm going to pretty much echo the same sentiment with Pastor Jackson. The Bible teaches that we're to be kingdom builders. And when we're being a kingdom builder, we're building the kingdom of heaven, a kingdom of God on earth. And that means we're followers. We follow the teachings. We're not Christian, but in other words, we're pro-Christ. We're followers of Christ. We are members of what you call a Christian faith. We have no denomination, but we're members of the Christian faith. In other words, we follow the teachings of Jesus Christ. And so what that said is we are to make disciples of people, and we are to build a kingdom of heaven, a kingdom of so many people following the teachings of Jesus Christ right here on earth. That's what Jesus came here to do. And he left us in charge of building the kingdom. So that's what I would like to say. Let us get busy being, like Pastor Jackson said, it's time for us to get busy. Let us get busy being kingdom builders. Amen. God bless you.
Amen. God bless you. God bless you. That was Pastor Joseph. And speaking of Pastor Jackson, we want to send him some shouts out. He had dental work done today, man. He sent me a text. So pray for him that pain subsides. And Elder Melvin is gone. Let's make sure that we keep him in prayer for his therapy to be successful. And also, everybody, want you to continuously pray for Dr. Kemp, who'll be laying to rest another loved one this Saturday. So let's make sure that we keep Dr. Kemp in your prayers for his family, for their comfort and strength in the Lord. Amen. All right. Here's our Black History honoree.
Pastor, allow me to apologize to Pastor Joseph. That was a good job that he done, and I was echoing the same sentiments with Pastor Joseph. I'm sorry.
Amen. God bless you, Pastor Kemp, for that. And Pastor Joseph, thank you.
Thank you.
All right,
no
everybody.
Problem. Love you.
God bless you, sir. Yes, sir. We love you, too. All right, everybody, here's our Black History honoree for tonight. Mr. George Washington Williams is his name, and he was a 19th century historian responsible for penning the first historical count of African Americans in the United States. History of the Negro race in America from 1619 to 1880. Over the course of 7 years, Williams studied over 12,000 sources to compile his two-volume history. Explaining his motivation for undertaking the project, Williams stated in the book's preface, "The day will hasten where there shall be no North, no South, no black, no white, but all be American citizens with equal duties and equal rights." Mr. George Washington Williams, our Black History honoree for tonight. All right, here's the health tip for tonight. Don't forget to get your exercise in, stretch, work your muscles out in them bones, man. Get them together. Do you some side straddle hops, you know what I'm saying, some sit-ups, some crunches. Go jogging, walking, get your heart rate up. Make sure that you put 64 ounces of water in your body on a daily basis. 64 ounces, that's 4 16-ounce bottles of water, or 8 8-ounce worth of water in each glass. and however else you want to get in. Cut back on all the fast foods and the snacking. Cut back on all the fried foods. Eat your vegetables. Eat your fruits. And for one day out of the week, give me one day, y'all. Just one day out of the week. You choose the day. But just give me one day out of the week that you say, I'm going to be a vegetarian today. You're not going to eat any meat in your diet. We want you healthy physically and mentally. Make sure that you get your workout on. And most importantly, we need you healthy spiritually. Study the word of God to show yourself approved before God. Leave man alone when you're trying to impress him and improve. Do whatever in front of man's eyes. You know, impress God. Be pleasing in his eyes. Do whatever God says in his word. And continuously pray without ceasing, because the effectual fervent prayer of the righteous, it avails much. All right? Get yourself physically, spiritually, and mentally healthy. All right? That's going to wrap up the show for tonight. Don't forget to join us tomorrow night, 7 p.m. Central Standard Time, same place, YAT Radio. It's going to be the Mighty Men of Valor, the brothers coming around, sitting around, talking about current events, topics that's going on around us. Make sure that you tune in and be here with us once again. Keep all of our pastors in your prayers, Pastor Jackson and Pastor Kemp and his family, that you be there with him in spirit, that they will feel your love from all over the world. Make sure that you do that for us. Pastor Joseph, if you will, please pray us out tonight. It would be a blessing. Thank you.
And Father God, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for everything you're doing for us, our family, our friends, everybody that concerns us. You say you will perfect that which concerns us. Father, we trust you at your word in Jesus' name, that there is no fear in love, but perfect fear casts out love, because fear has punishment. Father God, we continue to thank you that you have given us the spirit of power. Thank you, you have given us the spirit of love and the spirit of a sound mind. Father God, you said whosoever try to save his life will lose it, but whosoever will lose his life for your sake shall find it. Father God, in the name of Jesus Christ, may we find that abundant life in the name of Jesus. May the lost find it in Jesus' name. We pray for the lost out there, God. Send somebody to minister to them in Jesus' name, for the north, south, east, and west. Bless breaking change in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Father God, we thank you that it is, hallelujah, what you caused it to be. If the foundation be destroyed, what shall the righteous do? Father God, we continue to come against the wicked conversations. Father God, you said by the blessings of the upright, we shall be exalted, we shall be established, but overthrown by the mouth of the wicked. Father God, you said the wicked shall be turned into hell, and all nations forget you, God. Help us not forget you, your principles, your law, moral, God, your word, your everything that you have written for us to have, Father. And most of all, God, help us continue to make disciples. Help us continue to teach people to be led by the Spirit. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.
Amen, amen, amen. God bless you, sir. God bless you. Thank you for that. Don't forget, tomorrow evening, 7 p.m., we'll be back here, y'all. Come and join us, and we love you. Don't forget that. We love you. And as Pastor Kim said, ain't nothing you can do about it. Everybody have a blessed night. Love you, Pastor Joseph. Love you, Pastor Kim. Elder Melvin, everybody, and thank Pastor Davis for joining us tonight. Everybody, remember one thing. We got to keep thanking the Lord for nothing else but just thanking him for life. Have a blessed night, everybody. We gone. Peace. Good night, everybody.
Listening to Breaking Chains on YAT Radio, where we discuss the importance of spiritual, mental, and physical health. You can always get involved in the conversation by calling in at 858-357-9137 or catch the live stream at www.blogtalkradio.com/YAT Radio. That's Breaking Chains, where we leave a mark that can't be erased by breaking the chains of silence.
Thanks for turning us on this evening. Just know we are here to assist you in recovering your light from back from the darkness. Speak the truth with Young Adults Talk Live, a ministry for the people of God. So let's join together and recover what's ours. God bless you from the Young Adults Talk family.